This is Housebound. I'm Chris.
I'm Holly.
I'm Ashlyn.
I'm Greg.
And you're invited. Welcome to Housebound, a podcast we made because we needed company. In it, we talk about things that are on our mind, and today we're going to be talking about the puzzle books that shaped us. We've already talked in a previous episode about what kind of a role libraries played in our early lives, maybe even our current lives. And a vivid memory that I have from the library that I frequented near my house as a child was the children's section of the library. And this is usually a much more well-developed corner of the building. There's rug, there's tables your size. There are shelves that have both books and puzzles, sometimes in like Ziploc bags or plastic bags so that the pieces all stay contained. If you know what I'm talking about, you might be nodding your head right now. I think there were some puzzles you might even have been able to like take out of the library. I'm not sure if I'm remembering that correctly, but I do know that there was this huge area where kids just threw down and put the letters into the corresponding slots and the shapes into the corresponding slots, and then also had a book off to the side that they were reading. And that's some of my early library memories are of that children's section of the library. And I've got a short list here that's going to read a little bit like the Winter Soldier trigger words for you probably. So I'm just going to go through them one at a time and see if any of these rings a bell. Usborne Puzzle Adventure, I Spy.
Oh yeah.
Highlights Puzzle Master Magazine. Where's Waldo?
Yeah, baby.
Like if any of these are triggering that spot in your brain that the serotonin rushes through and gives you vivid flashbacks. That's how serotonin works, right?
Nostalgia,
maybe.
Yeah. These are books that I grew up with. That when I think back on them, the books were all quite the same. If you've read one Where's Waldo book, you've read all of them.
There is a story, but
the story kind of changes, the adventures from page to page don't really change. Your task is still the same. You have to find him in a crowd with a bunch of other bonus objects. And if you've opened up an I Spy from Scholastic Publishing and you've seen those pages where the artist has taken a photo of a Rube Goldberg machine, but there are 10 layers to this machine that you can only see by staring at the page for hours at a time. If you've seen that once, you've seen all of the pages. They're different on each page, but the process of how you go about completing the puzzle or whatnot is exactly the same. It's not really a different adventure, but as a kid, you feel like it's a different adventure. And as a kid, I remember reading through the same books over and over and over again. And I did get better at finding the images or the objects faster or sooner, but it was still this experience for me where I was just locked in focus on this task for a long time. And I think like it's not like I could feel my brain working in ways that it doesn't work nowadays. But
if you'd like to, there are several games that get advertised to me all the time that are like Hidden Mansion, and you can find all the objects in order to like release your grandmother from prison.
All those phone games. Oh my gosh.
That's a bit of a detour from what I remember.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I think my point is that as a child, something beyond simply stacking blocks, physical blocks, but having these books that were both a way to, I think, encourage reading, because there was simple reading on these pages as well, but also how to use your brain to deconstruct a situation. I'm fairly confident that a lot of what I do in my day-to-day life nowadays is a a result of just learning techniques from reading these books as a kid. And so I'm interested to know if these books, besides Where's Waldo, because we've got a resounding response from you already on that, but if any of these other ones ring a bell to you, if you're familiar with them, or if you have some kind of children's puzzle. I guess it doesn't have to be a book, but something that you frequented in your childhood that you feel definitely helped develop the way that you think critically about a situation, I guess is the easiest way to ask what I'm trying to ask. Or it doesn't have to be from when you were a toddler, but it can be from when you're an older child. But do you recall these? Do you have some of your own examples that you'd care to share with us?
I think I know like 3 out of the 4 that you had listed. I think there was one that I didn't recognize, but like Osborne Puzzle Books, I Spy, Where's Waldo, those all ring a bell for me. And then also like I would probably add on to that like the even though it's not like a picture book, like the Choose Your Own Adventure, those are also very puzzly, where you're kind of trying to figure out, okay, what's the best route, and like thinking critically in terms of like, okay, well, I don't want to get zapped by this alien, but I also don't have a ray gun. I should probably go hide in the sewer or whatever, right? Rather than confront the alien. Otherwise, zap, you're dead. Your body falls to ashes. Your adventure ends here. Go back to page 42.
That's a choose your own adventure with ridiculous stakes. Mine never had stakes like that. They were always like, you got wet, go home and change.
Maybe I'm looking back on them and having a more violent, I don't know, like shade over top of them. But I thought that they did.
Yeah. Some of them ended with you dying, 100%. Yeah, did you use sticky notes in your books so that you could go back to that last spot? Or would you just start at the beginning of the adventure each time?
I just flip back and forth or whatever. Yeah, I wouldn't start at the beginning.
Did all 3 of you read these, like flip to page whatever adventure books?
Yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Because I never did. I never really knew anybody that did. I wasn't around them at all. And I have this perception that, like, those adventure books were, like, only ever really popular in, like, the 70s and then went out of popularity and no one ever looked at them ever again.
They were
all over my school.
Yeah, they were the cat's pajamas.
Yeah, the closest thing I ever did to an adventure book was when somebody writes on your textbook, like, flip to page, 147, and then, like, probably draws an inappropriate picture.
Yeah. that also was a thing, but not until high school, I think, for me.
Yes, agreed.
That's crazy. Yeah.
We also wrote them, I think, in elementary school at one point. Wrote our own choose your own adventure books. And that, I think, was a process that did more for me for like planning than actually reading them. Because reading them, I'm pretty sure I would cheat constantly. Just instead of flipping to the correct page, like looking ahead to next page and being like, okay, this is the page I need to get to. That then I'll know.
I would definitely flip forward. If I died, then I just flip back to the last page. Like I wouldn't redo the adventure or anything like that. Yeah. But I would even like sometimes just try exploring one thread and then being like, nah. And then I go back and explore the other one. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. They were fun.
That's so interesting. Yeah. I never did those. I think the closest I've ever gotten to doing something like that was Greg downloaded for me. This was like, 3-4 years ago, probably. Greg let download for me one of those Lifeline apps to my phone. That's like a choose your own adventure text message game on your phone where you have like auto responses of what to say. Oh. And in the Lifeline one that we were doing, or that I did, you were like communicating with a lone astronaut in space. It was very The Martian-esque.
It plays in real time.
And so, so he'll be like, oh, okay, I'll go do that. I'll contact you again if I run into any issues. And so then you won't get a response for like 2 or 3 hours while he's working on the thing. And then he'll text you back being like, I found it. What do you think I should do next? Go over here, whatever. And it was very engrossing. It was really good.
So it's like you're having a message with an actual person because it's taking response time, into consideration for it to make you feel like you're immersed in the experience.
Yeah. Obviously, you lose some of the immersion when you just forget to respond. And then you're like, oh, crap, I just left. But then he's not like, hey, where'd you go? You know, like it's so, but it's still, they're a lot of fun. There's a puzzle book that Mark just recently gave me that reminds me of the Choose Your Own Adventures. So it's a series called You Are the Hero, Fighting Fantasy. And this book is called Death Trap Dungeon. And so it's like part story, part game, where you'll have that kind of like choose your own adventure aspect. But then it's also sort of like a D&D game. I think you like have dice and stuff and you're like upgrading your character. Yeah, there's like whole like skills and stamina that you're kind of upgrading while you're playing. And like you collect treasure and equipment and stuff. So...
okay.
Very much similar to those kind
of... that's fun.
Yeah. So I just haven't gotten around to playing it yet. But yeah. So even for adults, I guess. Because it looks way too complicated for a kid. For sure. But
it's fair.
Yeah.
In 1989 or 1990, there's a publishing company. I'm not sure if they're exclusive to magazines or books, but... the company's called, or was called, I don't know if they're still around, they're called Highlights. And so when I was a kid, we had some older issues of these magazines that would come once every, I think, I must be remembering it more often than it was, but it might have come like three or four times a year maybe. And they're called Puzzle Master. And I think there was also a series called Math Master or something like that, and that was exclusively math related puzzles in them. But these were magazines that were like, they were so thick that they were in like a graphic novel collection style of print. So you had like a flat spine, not a spine that was just a whole bunch of pages folded and then stapled. This was like a flat, almost like a soft cover book. Exactly like a soft cover book, right. And it had mazes on one page, and then it had kind of like fill in the word blanks type puzzle on another page, and pages with the kind of puzzle that you might see in a math class, where a person is driving at a certain speed towards a certain location. But it was kind of a visual representation of that kind of a puzzle. And you were able to use your pen on each page in order to help finish drawing the solution or tracing a path or whatever. And I just remember these puzzle books. I remember doing a lot of these puzzles in pencil because... then I could go back and erase it and forget about it and then come back to it and try to do it again. And of course, over the few times that I would do that, you start to see the pencil line, and so you know where the answers are, right? But I vividly remember the covers of these magazines, and I think we even kept them. I wouldn't be surprised if some of them are still hanging out at my parents' house. But things like that, and I think my parents even purchased a couple of I Spy books, those Scholastic books that they always caught my attention at the school book fair each year, because they're these big books with
colorful
I don't even know how many there would be. There's got to be at least a couple of dozen in that series, because they had one for every season, and they had ones that were all like a nighttime theme, and then another book that was all outdoors theme, and I just vividly remember spending hours with these books, something that as an adult you don't really have the time to do, but maybe not even the patience. I guess maybe the best representation of that would be playing some kind of a video game that is created based around puzzles exclusively, which I guess most video games have puzzles in them, but
video games more than others, like Zelda has a bunch of like specific puzzle chunks in it always.
So I'd never really played Zelda games before recently, and found out exactly that it's more like a puzzle a bunch of puzzles in a game than it is. There is a story to it, but it's kind of like these older books where the story is just the means to get through all of these different puzzles. And of course, with a video game, it plays out differently. But yeah, that's something that I remember. And I don't know if it's something my parents signed me up for or my grandparents signed us up for a subscription, or if you can even still get them. But they were a great way to occupy my time. So my parents were happy to leave me alone with it. And it also, I think, just helped, like I said, helped develop some of that critical thinking when it came to analyzing a situation and just like how you looked at a problem. Problem solving, I guess, is more so what it did. Yeah. If you didn't grow up with Choose Your Own Adventure books, then I'm kind of curious to know what, if any, kind of puzzle books you grew up with, Ashlyn.
You know, I think we had one I Spy book. I think we were late to the game on that one. And it was likely a garage sale find at that point. But I mostly remember going to other people's houses and like, if they had an I Spy book, we'd work on it or whatever. I don't really remember any specific time in my childhood when I would have done a Where's Waldo. I think I know of Where's Waldo as like a culture character more than a book. I can't remember specifically flipping through the book or looking at that anywhere. And I'm not sure what you're talking about with the Aussie something or other. I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah,
what kind
either.
Of puzzle book is that one?
I feel like those ones are like a story, right? The Osborne puzzle books. Like they're like a story that you kind of go on, and there's like little mazes or like little things that you have to decode in order to get past into the next chapter. Is that right, Chris?
Yeah, they're definitely basically is what I remember from them as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there was like a space one that we had.
Yeah, I know that Osborne, I don't know how to really pronounce it, but I know that they were also another huge publisher, and we had a lot of books that were published by them. We had a beginner's guide to chess book that we had a chess set, and so then my dad went and got this book, and I think it was meant for kids to be able to read it as well, but it was a relatively comprehensive guide on how to play chess, and it wasn't terribly large or complicated. It just talked about each piece and what the rules to that piece were, and then it taught you some additional rules that you might just not know, like substituting these pieces for this kind of a piece, or being able to do this kind of a move in this kind of a situation, like exceptions to the rule. So yeah, there were quite a few companies that were, when I was young, again, when I was like the early 90s, mid 90s, even late 90s, that were very focused on just giving children this opportunity to learn new things. And they did it through books. Whereas now you have things like Leapfrog, it's more of a digital thing than a physical thing, but
it's more interactive.
Yeah, they've just, as technology has progressed, they found different ways to accommodate that. But I always found that really, really valuable, looking back anyways, to like have those companies put that much effort into those kinds of things for kids.
Yeah, I feel like those books, like, My only reference point here is I Spy. So I'm going with I Spy.
Okay.
But I feel like those books, like I Spy, exploit the same like part of your brain or whatever it is as so many phone apps today. Mm-hmm. So at least what my experience with I Spy was it was something that was like vaguely entertaining. I'm not sure if it taught me anything, but it makes you feel productive even though you're just sitting there staring at something, accomplishing really nothing. But it makes you feel like you're like, yes, I did it. I did the mission. I finished that, you know, and there's like this sense of almost accomplishment even though you got nowhere. And it just reminds me of all of those phone apps. Like I remember in like first and second year university, I spent so many hours playing that Tiny Tower game on your phone where you have this like giant apartment building and you can trolley people up and down and accomplish little missions and grow your tower. And it's that same sort of thing where you check in and you do a couple of tasks and it makes you feel like almost productive. You're like, yeah, my tower is really rocking now. But in the end, it's like a phone app that has no end. It doesn't, you're not actually really accomplishing anything, but it's like using that part of your brain. I think also another thing that fits into that same category is like Sudoku or something like that, where you're like, yes, I finished it. I got really into Sudoku in high school for a little bit.
Oh, man.
Not the like expert level ones. I have no enjoyment in a headache, but the easy ones were fun. So I feel like that's what they accomplished for me, was essentially those like tiny tower Sudoku like experiences where you're accomplishing a small mission and it makes you feel like you did something, but did you really is a question worth asking.
I think my favorite were from when I was a bit older, and it was more like word searches and crosswords. I really like both of those. And I do think that they're at least a little bit valuable for like pattern recognition and yeah, some critical thinking, but more so just like trivia knowledge. You know, like sometimes trivia knowledge is helpful in day-to-day life, and sometimes it means nothing, but like makes you feel good.
Oh, sometimes trivia knowledge is definitely useful. It was only, okay, this is a tangent topic, but you got to hear the story.
Okay.
It was only like a month or two ago that I was listening to the radio station, the Saskatoon Country radio station, and they were doing like where they were accepting callers and asking them like questions to see if they could win prizes.
Yeah.
And one of the questions was, what is the population of India? The caller was really struggling with what the answer might be, and she decided to settle on 2 million.
No.
So, I think there's some worth and some trivia knowledge.
That's so low. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, I think especially when you get to those big numbers, like, I think we just lose. I think especially since we live in Saskatoon, where, like, we have a pretty small population, right? Like, we don't have that comprehension of what, like, a million person city actually like is and feels like, you know. So, but yeah, like there's definitely some amount of like, it's
all of India.
Yeah,
2 million.
Oh my gosh, that's pretty bad.
That's crazy.
I was laughing so hard at the car. We know that finding the right music or background effect for your video, or even the perfect intro jingle to your new podcast, is very important. That's why we'd recommend you take a look at soundstripe.com. It's a music licensing site, sound effect archive, and stock footage library all rolled into one. With a great selection of genres and artists, curated playlists for easy browsing, and much more, Soundstripe takes the hassle out of music licensing with one-time fees and its more than generous selection of beats, sounds, and video clips. Make your next creative project a hit. Check it out today and receive 10% off your first monthly or annual subscription when you use the promo code HOUSEBOUND10 at checkout. That's HOUSEBOUND10. Go get creative!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, some of that can also be attributed to more of like mathematical skills and I think when I hear that story, I think of the questions that people say are on the application forms for people that want to apply for Google. You'll have questions that aren't really made to have a specific answer, but are more so made to see how people think. And one of the questions that always pops up as an example is, if you were to have a window washing company and you had to wash all of the windows in New York City, how much would you charge for that service?
Good grief.
I don't know that there is a, like, I don't know that there is a specific right answer or wrong answer, but I have heard multiple times that the answer that they're going for is something along the lines of, well, I would charge blank amount per window, whereas the first number of times I've heard that problem in my mind, I was like, well, how do you value your time for doing all of the windows? Like, how do you put a $750,000 or whatever, like $2 million, like how do you put a number to that many windows? Because you'd have to calculate the windows and there's so many. And so it's just trying to see how people approach problems a slightly different way than or think outside of the box, I guess, is what they're trying to get people that think outside of the box. And so I think that that is, there's definitely different places in life where you can learn those kinds of skills. And it's not exclusive to puzzles, but
putting it in a game or puzzle format is far more fun than like learning it at university.
Yeah. If you're going to teach a kid something, you want to make it entertaining for them. And just to double back on what you said earlier about the books, you don't really accomplish anything. You feel this sense of accomplishment, but you haven't actually achieved anything that matters in life after completing a puzzle. These companies are also trying to make money. And so they're just pumping out material so that they can also make money. That's not something that's lost on me. But
yeah. I spy the altruistic charity.
Yeah. So there are like board games that you can play solo, mm-hmm. right? Which are more of a puzzle. Mm-hmm. Like as you're trying to figure out, okay, like how do I approach this knowing kind of anyways, and you're kind of figuring out, you're puzzling out how to win based on the circumstance in front of you. But what's interesting is that got me thinking, okay, wait, so, but when you're playing a board game with other people, it's almost like the puzzle's moving. And so you have to adapt to their adjustment of the puzzle. And so you're all puzzling together, you know, and trying to figure out, you know, anyways, that's just a, I don't know, a little bit of a tangent, but maybe, and maybe that's why when we're doing puzzles as kids, it's kind of almost like you're playing a game, like a solitaire game with yourself, right? You're like against the book or whatever, or against, you know, so whether it's like a maze or whether it's a word search, you know, it's kind of like, kind of has a bit of that feel.
That is interesting.
So Ashlyn's already kind of said that perhaps she doesn't feel like there was anything that she learned specifically from children, maybe her lack of children's puzzle books in her life. Maybe that's why
you didn't learn anything.
Yeah, I guess so. If only there were more.
And Holly, you mentioned about pattern recognition being something that you feel like you might have acquired, or at least, you know, helped mm-hmm. you along in that regard. Greg, is there anything that you can think of from Choose Your Own Adventures or otherwise? Maybe you did 1,000-piece puzzles as a kid just to like test yourself, like I'm, or something.
Yeah, baby.
There's a couple things that I can think of that like we haven't necessarily mentioned. Like I think everyone's experienced the morning cereal box puzzle challenge, where you're looking at the back of a cereal box. Yeah. You know, at least here in North America, we have a lot of those. Whether, you know, if this box doesn't have a toy in it, it typically had a puzzle at the back. So, and so those were fun. But
or along those lines, the papers that you used to get in restaurants because you were a child and you couldn't wait for your food.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, the little fake menus or the placemats or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there's those things then. And I do think those do help with, just problem solving and being able to like, okay, you have a task in front of you and let's complete it. It's like a little mini work project, you know, and you kind of learn how to, you know, how to do it. But then I think the other thing that is interesting that's not necessarily books, but I think like before books were a thing, like people used to give puzzles like brain teasers, right? Like verbal puzzles. So like I know as a kid that was a really big thing, like riddles and stuff, you know, like I know that in mythology, like the Sphinx would give riddles to, you know, people in order to gain entry into whatever they were protecting, right? Which showed that you were worthy. And like that actually used to be a really big thing to show how wise you were, right? So, which is really kind of interesting. But one of the brain teasers that I remember was like, okay, so there were two people who were hiking in the Himalayas and they went into a village and they procured a guide who was able to help them by telling them the road to go and what were the safe paths and which to avoid. And as they were walking, they came across a huge cavern and the guide fell into the cavern. But they just kept walking along just totally disregarding, because they just kept going along and didn't care. And eventually they reached the summit and found what they were looking for and then headed back home. Why were they so callous toward the guide falling into the cavern?
It was a goat.
Because they were blind.
It was a ghost.
Goat.
And because they were what? They were blind?
I think it's because they were blind.
They saw the guide fall into the cavern.
The guide was a goat.
The guide was a what? A goat?
A goat.
A goat or a ghost?
A goat.
Not boo.
No, okay. Not boo.
The guide.
Because if it was a goat, it would know all the best ways to get up the mountain.
That's not bad. That's
and
pretty close.
We don't care if it gets hurt.
That's pretty close. That's getting there. So yeah, I would say that's probably just as good of an answer.
I got nothing. I'm going with Holly's goat answer.
Okay. So I didn't tell it. If you listen back, I didn't tell this story perfectly. I accidentally used a pronoun that I shouldn't have.
Oh, no, great.
But it's not a person. So it is. So there was a point at which I said who, but I should have said like, yeah, you just have to keep saying the guide. And so it's just a guidebook. And it just fell in, right? And so it was able to tell them where to go, right? So, because books do that. They tell us where, you know, what to do. So at that point, yeah. So anyways, that's an example of a brain teaser that stuck with me. Obviously, it didn't stick with me super well in order to retell it. I am terrible at retelling jokes, riddles, puzzles, and all of those things. But that in our family, like, that was one of the things that, like, okay, we're stuck in a line or whatever, you know, and like somebody tells a riddle or whatever, and you know, that helps us puzzle through and try to figure it out, right? So
your family sounds so wholesome.
Yeah, no kidding. What the heck? We're stuck in a line. My parents would be like, be quiet.
Yeah.
And that's all. Not tell me riddles to keep my time.
But yeah, so I think that's something that, like, it helps to pass the time, but also, like, you kind of feel smart if you can figure out, oh, I think I know what this is, or I think I know the answer to this joke or whatever, right? So another thing with the I Spy books, I just really liked how, like, cool they made real life objects look. Like, just looking at those, I don't know, like, it was like a chaotic page, but you would be like, these look really good. Like, I don't know. I just appreciated the photography in that book.
There probably is some pretty good photography in that book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The photographers that, I think it's just a single photographer, actually, that has done these. But they have, I've read articles about them many times about being published and being up for awards and stuff for producing the content for these books, because it takes so much time to build this. It's a set. It's like a diorama, basically. And some of these are a lot larger than life than you would expect. And because of the way that they've taken the photo, it's just kind of the perspective of the photo makes it look smaller. And sometimes they take photos of something small and make it look really big. Tricks with photography and the kind of things that you can do. But as a kid, there's so much going on that's stimulating you in those that you're... I think I'm more engulfed in the activity than I am. Like, I recognize that the page was really cool, and sometimes I just look over the page for a while before even attempting to find any of the objects. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the very end of the, I can't remember if this was the I Spy or Waldo books, but you'd get to the very end, and on the back cover, inside of the back cover, you'd have a final page that goes, did you also find these things while you were looking? You're like, oh no, we have to go back through it all over again.
Waldo definitely had that. Or it had like a, this is your original challenge to find all of these things or people. And then it would be like, this is the hard challenge. I'd be like, oh, it's too hard.
And I think that the way that these various problem solving puzzles were presented to me as a kid, I think the way that they influenced me that I can think of to, like, nowadays even, is when I see a situation that I would deem a problem for whatever reason, I immediately find myself thinking about how I would interact with each of the separate aspects of that problem. So if it's something that's going to fall onto the floor and there's other people around, I think about what would happen if I took this action or what would happen if I took that action. And then that might be something that was just reinforced by the choose your own adventure. I don't know. But
I do not think that much. I just do a thing and then deal with the consequences. Good or bad.
Right. But all of the things that we do comes from somewhere, right? Like you learn and you're cultured into reacting a certain way. And so without being a psychiatrist and knowing anything about why that would be in like the deep down depths of my person, what I can think of is that these puzzles helped me to think of the world in a different way and see the world in a different way. And yeah, it's just really fun to think about your childhood, of course, and have these flashbacks, have these trips, but to also think that while you don't feel like it did anything for you in the moment, while it wasn't consequential that you were reading this book or didn't read this book or read it 3 years later than everybody else from a garage sale, it still somehow has a lasting impact. And I think we often talk about the stories that we are drawn to and the kinds of people or the jobs that we're drawn to. And obviously all of that comes from somewhere. And so this is just, that's a very small aspect of that, from something as simple as just puzzling. So we like puzzles. If you're puzzled on how to reach us, let me tell you the answers right now. You don't need to flip to the back of the book. You can find us online at Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. You can email at us at thehousebound podcast@gmail.com.
Tell us all your favorite riddles.
There is a feature on our podcast platform, whether you're listening to this episode on Anchor or I think also Spotify. You have an option to leave us a voice message. They're 1 minute long, so make your riddles a minute or less, but definitely send us some voice recordings. Let us know what you thought about this episode. Let us know about the puzzles that you grew up with, what you feel helped shape you. And we'd love to listen to those. And as we always say, if we find something incredibly interesting or just fun, we might use it in a future episode. So what have you got to lose?